All right, this evening we invite you back to the book of Ephesians, and we will read our verses here in Ephesians once again. Hopefully, by the time that we get through these verses, you'll have them memorized. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses once again. Tonight we want to pick up with that of our text where we left off this morning. But before we do, we would just remind you that our focus this morning was upon that of the first statement found here in that of our text, where Paul writes, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And just to review very quickly on that of this statement here sets before us the fact that God has claimed a people for himself, for that of his inheritance. You note in verse 11, we also, as we began looking at the text, that the first three words here that we skipped over them. We wanted to make sure that we came back and we drew your attention to them, because they are very important words. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, in whom, of course, refers us back to that of verse number 10. At the very end, you know, Paul wrote that in the dispensation, the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom. Now, reading these two verses together, we see very quickly the in whom refers back to that of him, which ultimately refers back to that of Christ. Christ, in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance. Now, as we've noted for some time now, as we have studied here in the epistle here and in these verses, that the phrases in him, in whom, they refer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are very important because they speak of that of Christ and the fact that it's in him that all of the blessings come unto us. It's in him. It's through him. It's by him. And all of these phrases in and by have been used throughout that of these verses to emphasize, beloved, that whatever spiritual blessings that we enjoy, that we know, beloved, it's in that of Jesus Christ. And likewise, as we come to that of the statement, we have obtained an inheritance, or we have been appointed as that of the chosen, or as inheritance. It's in Him. It's in Him in whom this is true. It's in Him in whom that we have been claimed as God's inheritance, God's portion. He sees us in Him. Now, I want you to think for a moment. If we considered ourselves by ourselves, what would there be in us for God to claim us? For God to claim us as that of His inheritance, or that of His portion. What would there be in us? What are we? We're nothing but that of rebellious sinners. Ones deserving justly that of the wrath of God. Rebellious, at enmity with Him, haters of Him. And it was He, beloved, who took the initiative, who showed that of His grace unto us. And beloved, that grace comes to us in and through that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees us in Christ. And so, beloved, as the Father looks upon Christ, that's a different picture. A totally different picture. For beloved, He does always those things that please the Father. He came into the world and walked here upon the earth and wrought out that of a perfect righteousness. He met all the demands of the law. He did the will of His Father in heaven. And so it's a wholly different picture viewing Christ and then us in Him. Outside of Him, beloved, there's no hope. There's nothing but that of judgment, condemnation. So Paul writes, in whom, that is Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, or we have been claimed as an inheritance. As I said at the end of that of our message this morning, it is what perspective that you consider. It's what perspective that you consider. When you look at it from that of a divine perspective, and I believe that's what we have here in that of our text, in that we have that of a passive verb here. He has claimed us for His own. He has chosen us for His own, for that of His portion. It's from that divine perspective that we have here in that of our text, that this portion that is being spoken of here, this lot that is being spoken of here, is viewed. I just wanted to draw your attention to a few verses in that of the Old Testament that speak of that of our portion, from that of our perspective. Over in Psalm verse, or chapter 16, Psalm 16, and this actually came to my mind later on this morning during Sunday school hour, and so I had to scratch down these verses. Psalm 16, and in verse Number five, the psalmist David here is the one who is speaking. He says, the Lord is a portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. For David, he says, the Lord, Jehovah, is the portion of mine inheritance. You know, in that of our text, we ask the question, what is the inheritance? Well, from the divine perspective, beloved, looking at it from the Lord's perspective, it's us, His people, in Christ. Looking at it from that of our perspective, as David here views the inheritance, he says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. The Lord is that of my lot. In Psalm 73, and verses 25 and 26, again, we see similar words. The psalmist writes, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My portion forever. In Psalm 119, Psalm 119 and verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. And then in Psalm 142, and in verse number 5, again, we have that of David. It says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. In the land of the living. Don spoke of that of David this morning in his Sunday school hour, and that of David and what the Lord was to him, and the experiences that he had. And, you know, he said, you know, what about us, so to speak? Is the Lord that to us? What David saw the Lord to be to him. So we have the Lord as that of our portion, our inheritance. Well, but there's more to the inheritance that the scriptures speak of. The beloved, of whatever there is, this is the greatest. That He's our, that the Lord Jehovah is out of our portion. One other thought before we continue on. Back up in verse number 4, we preached upon this back several weeks ago, that of the doctrine of election, God's choosing. He says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Before Him in love. I defined that word there in verse 4, chosen, to be chosen for oneself, to be picked out for oneself. That's what God did. And He did it back in eternity. He picked out that of a people for Himself. And keeping that in mind, beloved, then as we come forward to that of our text, then we can see that of the divine perspective then very clearly being set forth in verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, or we have been claimed as an inheritance or a portion, that we might be before Him in love. Now tonight, as I said, we want to continue on or pick back up where that we left off this morning. In verse 11, as we go on, the Apostle Paul, he writes, "In whom also we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Now, we want to begin by looking at that of the first few words of this statement, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him. The word predestinated here, we've already come across this word earlier. Back in verse number 5, Paul wrote, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Similar language back there in verse number 5, as what we have here in verse 11. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Only there's a little bit further info that is given to us here, we might say, here in that of this statement that is before us. But as we defined that word predestination in the past, we would once again define it. It means to determine beforehand. To determine beforehand. And in verse number 5, Paul writes of the fact that God determined beforehand. He determined beforehand that we should be His children. He determined beforehand to adopt us as that of His children. In verse 4. Here in that of our text, it has to do with that of the inheritance, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, or we have been claimed as that of a portion. We have been appointed or chosen. We are the lot, so to speak. Remember the children of Israel, when they entered into the land after they had driven out the enemies to some extent. In the book of Joshua, Joshua gathers the tribes together and he apportions out that of the land to the various tribes. Each tribe got a portion of that of the land that God had given unto them. It was their lot. It was theirs. Well, that same ideal is what is found in that of our text in that beginning phrase. And I'm sure that's what the Apostle Paul thought of, perhaps. Most likely, as he was writing this and he used that particular word. It's this that Paul says, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. It's this choosing out or claiming for that is spoken of as having been predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. In other words, it was predetermined. Predetermined. And this predetermining that Paul speaks of here, this determination beforehand, he says, is according to the purpose of Him. Who? Who is that of the Him? Beloved, it's none other than that of God who is the primary focus of that of the doxology here in these verses, the doxology of praise. In whom also we have obtained or been claimed, being predestinated or determined beforehand according to the purpose of Him. Now that word purpose has the idea of that of plan. Now, we've already touched upon this in previous verses. Back in verse number 9, Paul, he says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation, the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. There we have Paul speaking of the mystery of His will, that of God's plan to unite and to sum up all things in that of Christ. What God has done, what God is doing, is not by chance. It's all according to the eternal purpose of God. And beloved, we would say to you, that purpose, that plan, as we have viewed these verses, we know one thing. It is that of a gracious one. A gracious one. Because He is gracious in what He has done. What He has purposed, what He has planned is gracious. According to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. The word worketh, the idea is that of activity. And here in that of our text here, the idea here is that of implementation. Beloved, God did not purpose a plan back in eternity, and that's all. God didn't purpose, He didn't plan, beloved, back in eternity. He didn't set forth that of an eternal plan and not execute it. Nor is it, beloved, the fact that He is not powerful to execute it. Beloved, He is the sovereign one of the universe. There is none above Him. He is God. And He's all powerful. And beloved, He is executing His plan. According to the purpose of Him, that is God, who worketh all things. Now, what does Paul mean by all things? Well, how about all things? Brother, there's not one iota that is not according, beloved, to that of the purpose and plan of God. After the counsel of His own will. The word counsel has the idea of plan. Again, will, resolve. Over in Psalm 33. We had this psalm read this morning. and we did it with a purpose in mind and that of the message. In verse 6, we'll begin. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen, or that is, that of their plans, that of their devices, to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord, it standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. It's sure. There's no doubt that is going to come to pass because it's the sovereign God. And it's his plan. In whom also we obtain inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, beloved, let me ask you a question now. Verse 11, the very first part of the verse, the idea there, as we've said, is that of the divine perspective, God claiming us as his heritage, as that of his inheritance, that of his portion, us being appointed his, we're his lot. Is that certain? You know, as we think of inheritance here in this life, We may be named as an heir to an inheritance. And we may die before the one who has named us as that of an heir dies and never receive that inheritance. Well, beloved, that's not with God. What we see here, beloved, is that of the certainty. The certainty of the fact, beloved, that we will be before him in love. And it will be for eternity, beloved. We, as God's people, we are his. We are his. We belong to him. And beloved, it is certain that we shall be before him in love. It's certain that we shall be holy and without blame before him in love. The counsel of his own will or his resolve. Then verse 12, he says, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Here we have what we call as that of a purpose statement. That little word "that" there gives us a clue to that very fact. That, or with this purpose, we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. This is the purpose, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, how does this all connect back to that of verse number 11? Well, let's look back and let's gather up to that of our understanding of that of the text. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, or we have been claimed as God's heritage. We are the Lord's portion. Being predestinated, that is, we whom He has claimed, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. In other words, the very fact that we are claimed as that of His heritage, as that of His portion, it was all according to that of His predetermined plan and purpose. And that purpose, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. I think I touched upon this back several weeks back. Or perhaps it was last week as we preached on that of verses 9 and 10. We as human beings, we dwell upon ourselves. And everything is about us. But beloved, that's not true when we come to the Scriptures. God's purpose and plan, it's not all about us. It's about Him. It's about, beloved, that of His glory. That of His praise. And that's what Paul is telling us here in this verse, that we should be to the praise of His glory. What God has done, claiming us as that of His own, that being predetermined beforehand, beloved, is so that we should be to the praise of His glory. We will be trophies of His grace, and we will reflect, beloved, by simply being there in that of His presence before Him. Beloved, we will declare His glory. And it's in Christ that that will be true. That we should be to the praise of His glory. And then we have that little statement at the very end of verse number 12. Who first trusted in Christ or hoped in Christ. That's kind of an apposition statement there, like we had up earlier in verse number... In verse number 7, where Paul writes, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's a further explanation, so to speak, that we should be holy, or that we should be to the praise of His glory. And then he is a description of those that will be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted or hoped in Christ. Christ being the object of that hope. I close tonight, and as I do, I would ask you, what is your hope in? If it's in that of this world or in that of the things of this world, that's all going to pass away. Jesus, He's only the hope that we have. Is he your hope? Do you belong? Do you belong to him? Let's stand and let's turn to hymn number 501. Hymn number 501. We sang the first stanza this morning. We'll go to the second stanza here. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the tears of time alone, but for eternity. Child of God, are you living your life for the praise of the glory of God? Are you living your life? Are you walking for the praise and the glory of God? I had some verses which we didn't go to in the Old Testament, which speak of that of Israel, God's people, and how God had chosen them out, and it was for that of His praise, His glory. They were coming to the New Testament, and we have that same thing. How glorious the Scriptures are. Our Brother Don, if you'll get some closing in the prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do praise You. Lord, we offer our thanksgiving unto Thee for this gracious, eternal plan of redemption. Lord, we rejoice, and Lord, we are in wonder and amazement that You are gathering together all things in one, in Christ Jesus. Lord, we rejoice that Satan has been defeated, that this present evil age is passing, that Thy kingdom came in the person of Christ Jesus, and Lord, we have experienced new life in Christ. Lord, we have this new creation, Your church. Lord, we know that things will be consummated one day, that Your plan will be complete, that a new heaven and a new earth will be a reality, and that Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we do wait for His appearance, His revelation in power and glory. Lord, we pray that You might help us to be patient, Lord, to be filled with Thy Holy Spirit as we wait. Lord, may we be watchful. Lord, do help us to be useful in the service of Thy kingdom. Lord, we do pray that as we go now out into the world this week, may you lead and guide us. Lord, bless us. We do look to thee, Lord, thou art our Savior, the arm of our salvation. Lord, may we rest completely upon thee and not trust in the arm of man. Father, do forgive us where we fail thee. Work in each of us mightily. Lord, we do pray your blessing upon our families. Lord, may you be gracious to them. May they all be taught of thee and find thy dear Son precious to their hearts. Lord, we do pray that you bless the gospel as it goes around the world. Lord, may a mighty number that no man could number be gathered into thy kingdom for your glory. Lord, bless the needs of this congregation. Lord, may you supply. Lord, our eyes are fixed upon thee, from whence cometh our help. Lord, this we pray and we give thee thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.